Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. But before we get into it, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172. Or andrewandtodd.com. We are here with two very special guests, Laura Sextro, CEO of the Unity Project, and Parisa. Say that right?
Yep.
Parisa Fishbach, right. President General Counsel. All right.
Thanks for having us.
Either one of you can kick it off. What is the Unity Project?
Laura.
Happy to be here. First of all, thank you so much for this opportunity. The Unity Project is an organization that came together really out of the idea that there are so many grassroots organizations across the state of California in particular, but really across the United States and even globally fighting these vaccine mandates for the K through 12 community. And so we recognize that they were all really in the same fight, but it's a very disparate way that they're approaching it. So we said there has to be a way to tie these organizations together and become a conduit of communication and collaboration. So that's really how the Unity Project was born.
Parisa.
Recognizing that your power in numbers is only amplified if you are saying the same thing. So again, you know, to Laura's point, unifying all of these groups, and we are growing so fast that in just a couple of months now, Laura, I think, we have reached other nations, other people from globally reaching out to us for help, because a lot of people are recognizing that California is the beach at Normandy, so to speak, and what happens there is indicative of what will happen in the rest of the country, potentially the world. So if we can stop it in California, we can hopefully stop it everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's the it's unityprojectonline.com.
That's right.
And so it really is focused correctly on defeating the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for all K through 12 students.
Correct.
And obviously that incorporates a lot of different things. And you guys have some phenomenal doctors involved. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone. We're a national program. Talk about what is the rule? What is the law? What is the edict from Newsom currently if you have a 10-year-old in public schools in California? Do they have to get vaccinated?
It's a proposed mandate set to take effect July 2022, which would affect all students K through, well, at this point, 12 to 17, but we are hearing rumors that they are going to expand that to the 5 and up community, which would make it K through 12 starting the 2022-2023 school year, and that they would have to all be vaccinated, and we believe it will be without any religious or personal belief exemptions, and there's a possibility that there won't even be a medical exemption.
So that's coming into effect in July?
Correct.
Correct. But you're seeing some students, or some school districts, excuse me, are actually preemptively implementing this. So in San Diego, I believe it's Sacramento, as well as Los Angeles, and there were some wins in terms of injunctions, and Parisa can speak more to that point. But in San Diego and L.A., but we just got notification. There's a school in Orange County, California, that's already sending notifications out. It's a private school, sending notifications out preemptively, preparing parents to either have their children vaccinated or withdraw them from the school.
So you're both moms.
Correct.
How'd you get into this?
Because we're moms. Yeah. So when October 1st, the press release came out that Newsom was proposing this vaccine mandate for the kids, I think we all went into high gear. But I think that for moms like Laura and I, we were expecting it. We knew something was going to come down fairly quickly, but we always lived in hope. That was taken away on October 1st. So we quickly got together. We didn't even know each other with a few other moms and created Moms on the Ground, got a lot of traction 22,000 followers in less than 10 days. And from that, recognizing the need to become a conduit for the disparate groups throughout California, we created the Unity Project.
From my perspective, I mean, if I could add to that as well, I think what has happened in this country in the last 2 years to the adolescent and pediatric community, keeping them locked away, has been horrific. And we are clearly seeing the effects of that on all levels. And so the concept of having to inject my child with something that is still experimental, and for a virus that poses statistically zero risk to my child, in exchange for in-person learning, just seemed outrageous on top of the 2 years that preceded what we're talking about now with regard to the mandates.
So both of you have kids about what age-ish?
At the age that they would need to take the vaccine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So within the range. No, I only ask just because there's so many parents that say, well, yeah, if it's a 13-year-old, it's okay. If it's a 6-year-old, I'm kind of not crazy about it. And so what's the experience been for both of you, you know, kind of getting into this? I'm sure a lot of support, but also a fair amount of backlash.
Little bit. I have a situation where I am co-parenting with, you know, an ex. And so what we're seeing a lot of is single parents like me that have difficulties with their ex that want to get the kids vaccinated. So that's an issue that I think a lot of parents are up against. Within California, the courts are just completely on the side of vaccination. So for me, it was being able to be there for support for those parents, because we do get backlash from our exes. You get backlash from friends, of course. But I think that what we're seeing is a lot of people, I myself am a Democrat, so a lot of people from the left or the middle are coming over to this side, because it's not necessarily just about the vaccine, is it? It's about your fundamental human rights. It's about your rights as an American. And they might be okay with the vaccination, but they are not okay with the mandate. So we've actually been surprised that we haven't gotten more backlash, and we've gotten a lot of support, and we are seeing people from the middle come over.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, it's actually been I've felt very supported in this. My daughter has been raised in a very traditional conservative household, and we've had a lot of conversations about these vaccines and the dangers that it presents to her. And more importantly, to Parisa's point, why in this country especially should we be mandated to subject our children to an experimental drug that has known adverse effects as well as mortality? We've now seen in the VAERS data, as well as sadly, we've actually had parents contact us whose children have unfortunately passed away that are linked to the vaccine, and you know, in exchange for in-person learning. And so from my perspective, it's been a lot of conversations in our household about why it's so important to draw this line in the sand.
Because a lot of parents are coming up against a lot of opposition across the country. And kind of how you've been successful in navigating this. You have a great board of advisors, which was super smart. You have Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Paul Alexander, and Dr. Aaron Carriotti.
Carriotti.
There you go. Interesting name.
Took
to
me
pronounce.
A minute too.
Yeah. And then I think you also have Dr. Pierre Corey involved.
That's right.
Correct.
And yeah, look, I agree with you. I think part of it, and I want to explore this with you guys. While I'm sure there is support, millions of parents are still doing this, though. And
sure.
No one's been able to explain to me what these parents are thinking.
Censorship.
Well, you mean in terms of actually getting their children vaccinated?
Yeah.
I think there's multiple schools of thought. I think first and foremost, you're either of the school of thought where you buy into the indoctrination that's happened in this country and the brainwashing that their children are actually at risk when, in fact, they're not. And if you look at even as recent as this last week with Justice Sotomayor and making that wildly reckless statement about children being in the ICU and on ventilators, which is an absolute fabrication and misrepresentation.
And Dr. Pan stating 1,000 children have died in California, which is actually a number higher than the entire country.
Right. From the beginning of tracking pediatric deaths. And in addition to that, we also know that the pediatric deaths under the age of 18 involved major comorbidities. Not just a normal, healthy child. And so You asked what are parents thinking? I think there's parents who are of that mindset. I think there's also parents that are of the mindset that almost like the go along to get along where, listen, they don't want their children to lose out on their high school sport experience or their high school dance. There's those type of parents as well.
No, I hear a lot about that. Yeah, that's unfortunately true. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, and mining and selling your online information. SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated. SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one app supporting your private connection with others of your choice. It's a terrific technology, and it safely brings together your family, friends, team, club, business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. SquadPod applications are encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I haven't gotten to know the SquadPod team, and they are true patriots with a mission dedicated to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by going to squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie.
We were talking about why parents still vaccinate. And I think what I'm hearing a lot from my leftist friends is that they concede that the vaccine is not warranted for children. As Laura stated, statistical 0% chance of serious injury or death. In fact, in this country, we've established that the only children that have died from COVID had several comorbidities. So they didn't actually die from COVID, rather with. And they also concede that the vaccine does not prevent transmission, therefore not needed. And by the way, constitutionally forbidden. So what I hear from them is, but what's the harm? If it allows you to participate in society, what's the harm? There's actually a lot of harm other than the fact that it is impeaching on your fundamental rights and your human rights. We have verifiable data now that children are dying by virtue of this vaccine. The CDC, the FDA, and the vaccine manufacturers themselves are admitting on their websites that myocarditis, pericarditis, thrombosis, neurological damage, just to name a few, are side effects of this vaccine. And we are seeing them predominantly in adolescents. There are a multitude of peer-reviewed studies that are showing throughout the world that children are at incredible risk. So that's the harm. And we're hoping that we're at that point where we can start speaking about that.
I think sadly, it's being suppressed. But if you think about it from a parent's perspective, a lot of parents, especially in that category of 12 to 17, right? So high school, junior high and high school. If you're a parent and you have a child that is very involved in sports, as an example, and they're facing, does my child end up not being able to play football or not being able to play? I have a friend who has a child that's in a very, very good water polo player, and they're facing this, the possibility that they may have to remove this child from a sport that they have played their entire life, that they're very passionate about, in exchange for not vaccinating them, or conversely vaccinating them and for the guarantee that they can continue to live in mainstream America and participate in normal activities. It's a horrible, unconstitutional position that this government is putting these children in and their parents.
I just like to say we ask that everybody be willing to give up what should be their freedoms for a little while to preserve their freedoms and that of their children for a lifetime.
Right. Yeah, that's really the problem, isn't it? Is that, and we've been kind of highlighting this on the show for a while, we live in a really rich country, and that means we have a lot of idle time, which means we get to do a lot of fun things. And that means our kids don't have to work at McDonald's anymore.
Right.
My generation, born in 93, was one of the first generations where we had more kids that played AAU basketball than worked high school jobs. And that was a generational difference, right? Because my parents were baby boomers and they wanted kind of a life for me and my friends and my generation where we could experience high level sports and all of this. And now all of that's kind of being put into jeopardy, isn't it?
Right.
Where
right.
all the kind of fruits of a really rich society,
right.
feeling actually, no, you can't have the life that you thought you would.
Right. You pay right. for I the mean, things you didn't pay for.
Right. You look at you know, obviously this is not too, I don't want to depart too much from the K-12 conversation, but if you look at what they're doing in corporate America, they're threatening people's ability to support their family. That is, if that isn't a criminal statement and the most profound thing that you can do to a human being, take away their ability to make a living and to support themselves and their family. And now you distill that down even further. And now you're saying not only are we threatening your ability to take care of yourself, but we're threatening your children's ability to engage in normal milestones as a child developmentally.
One of the talking points that is commonly used by the vaccine pushers is that, well, your kids got MMR vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella vaccines, so why not this one? You know, you can't go to summer camps, you can't go to public school without some of your vaccination log and or, you know, in rare exceptions, getting exemptions. We have the way we respond to that. I'd really be interested because that's the stumbling block for a lot of parents. They get into these meetings with principals, they get into these meetings with administrators, and they kind of just all of a sudden kind of get taken back where a kind of a school nurse, for example, at a private school in Fargo, North Dakota would say, well, I have right here that you vaccinated your kid against polio, MMR. Why don't you do this, you hypocrite? Look, on a daily basis, conservative men are being inundated with garbage. All these ads about overpriced boxers or these slick ad campaigns, it's nonsense. I, speaking, like to keep it private, but I'm happy to tell you about a wonderful company. These people are terrific. In fact, producer Andrew, big fan of this company. UnderTac. UnderTac. The only men's basic brand that is unapologetically Christian, pro-American, pro-military, and very proudly Second Amendment. They put comfort and functionality first by integrating a quick-release fly and secret pocket in the extra-wide waistband for cash or tactical necessities. They're also antibacterial, anti-pilling, and moisture-wicking fabric is super soft and comfortable. UnderTac is durable, fade-resistant, shrink-resistant, and ultra-lightweight. And here's the best part. They're 30% less expensive than the competition, so go to UnderTac.com. That's UnderTac.com right now. As a special holiday offer, get 20% off with their offer code KIRK20, K-I-R-K, number 20. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get UnderTac.com. That's GetUnderTac.com. Offer code KIRK20 for 20% off. Again, it's UnityProjectOnline.com. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a parent and you're concerned and you're like, what can I do about these vaccine mandates? Well, they have resources right here from scientific papers to data analysis to ethical, legal, and social issues. They have a toolbox, which is really great. I'm just looking at the website right now. And it's all about supporting science, the conversation, quick links, online petition, to downloadable letter to schools, to the parent non-consent form, to the downloadable flyer. A lot of stuff. You guys put a lot of work into this. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
So, Parisa, you are the general counsel of Correct. This effort. So parents will say, all right, I'm all on board, but then I think I have my mind changed because the argument they always use is, well, you gave your kids the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, didn't you?
Which is rather an insult to anyone's intelligence. Every vaccine that's currently mandated, for instance, in the state of California, and it's the same kind of throughout the nation, has had a minimum of a decade of study. Most of them have had at least 15 years before they were mandated. And those vaccines actually eradicated the underlying viruses like polio, like measles, like mumps, rubella, which we cannot say about the COVID-19 vaccine, can we? We all know that it will not prevent infection or transmission. To even call it a vaccine by that virtue is nearly a joke. In addition to that, those underlying viruses with the other vaccines had actual significant risks for the entire population, especially the pediatric population. For instance, I think there was a 30% mortality rate with measles, 10% with chickenpox. I can go on. But what's very important is the fact that those other vaccines didn't pose the severe risks that we are finding are not, in fact, rare, that this particular vaccine is causing in children. We are not seeing the death that we saw. In fact, there's a report from WHO that shows that all of the vaccines combined throughout history, throughout the world, over the last, I think it's from 1968, 53 years, have had a million less deaths than just this past year from the COVID-19 vaccine. That should be astounding in a scientific world where if you have 50 deaths from any particular medical treatment, that product is pulled.
Now, one of the other obstacles that people run into is they'll say it's an experimental vaccine.
That is correct.
And then someone will go print an article like this from Reuters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll say, fact check, COVID-19 vaccines are not experimental and they've not skipped trial stages. Now, what's really interesting about this is, and I'll let you respond, if you read it carefully, and they just updated this, it says, correction, an earlier version of this fact check described the Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson as being approved for use in the United States. This has been corrected to say these vaccines have been authorized for emergency use by the FDA. Vaccine makers will still need to apply to the FDA for full approval to continue the use after the pandemic. So they have a headline.
Right.
But that sounds experimental, doesn't it?
It's absolutely
it's not experimental, but it's experimental.
Right. It's absolutely experimental. And it's absolutely reckless the way that they are representing this, because the average person may just read a headline and make a decision based on that. I certainly hope not, because it's involving their children's health. But people may do that. And it just is wildly reckless. These are absolutely experimental. And by virtue of the fact that January of 2020 is really when we started mm-hmm. understanding and tracking that COVID-19 was a real thing, right? I believe it's been, what, correct me if I'm wrong, Parisa, about nine months now that we actually have had vaccines that we're deploying into the population.
It's been about a year now.
So here's some breaking news, everyone listening online, and this might impact you guys, might not. The Supreme Court has officially struck down the vaccine mandate. They upheld the one with HHS and the healthcare workers.
Interesting.
But they struck down OSHA and the workplace vaccine or test mandate, which is awesome.
I cannot compose myself. So why are you telling us this?
It's fantastic.
Parisa, what are the implications for that in your fights?
Oh my God, I'm so emotional. Well, I mean, it definitely makes it potentially easier for us within our states. You know, at the end of the day, it is the state police power. So it's not everything for us to have the Supreme Court strike it down, but it does set a precedent. And it allows us to formulate better arguments and hopefully a winning streak. And also changing the court of public opinion has a lot to do with how judges in respective states rule. So this could be very profound. Thank you.
It's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. But one of the things that still concerns me is this perception. You know, at my daughter's school, we continue to get notifications sent home saying that it has been proven the best way to protect your child is to vaccinate your child. And that is, again, wildly reckless, just absolute misrepresentation of the truth, because we know, based on this conversation that we've been having here, we know that if you get the vaccine, you can still acquire and transmit the virus. So it's not protecting you from anything. And we also know that there are known risks in the pediatric community.
Biden's OSHA vaccine mandate is dead. We are planning to defy it. Now we got nothing to defy, right, Andrew? Connor said it was unanimous. What? Is that right? I don't believe that.
Why? Did Sotomayor recuse herself?
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't believe it. It was so funny. People were emailing us, Charlie, what do I do if they uphold it? You defy it. It's not
right,
that hard.
Exactly.
You don't comply.
You don't comply.
Make OSHA show up, right? So there's been a lot of discussion around this idea of what is a vaccine, right? Now, I don't want to get too far or too deep into the weeds here, but I think it's a really important point. They are describing this more like an injectable therapeutic, right?
Sure.
And then, therefore, you can't mandate injectable therapeutics. Is there something to that?
Yes, absolutely. So the Constitution actually forbids it. The state constitution for California, as well as the U.S. Constitution, forbids the mandating of any drug that does not prevent transmission. And early on in this debate, we would have people reference a famous case, Jacobson. Jacobson is no longer correct.
It
is.
Right?
Oh, look at you. Yes, that one. it is no longer applicable, right? Because of the fact that now the CDC has admitted itself, not to mention real world data, that we are not preventing transmission by virtue of this vaccine. So can you even call it a vaccine? I don't think so, other than the fact that the CDC changed the definition conveniently for vaccine, but that's irrelevant. It doesn't prevent transmission constitutionally. You cannot. And you talk about noncompliance. There's your ground for noncompliance. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you have a right as an American to not comply with unlawful laws. And these mandates would constitute unlawful laws that you have every right to stand up against.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, you both have touched on it correctly, which is super important. This is really hurting people.
Absolutely.
And so I just,
especially children.
One of the things that I think people are unaware of, maybe outside the state of California, but there are literal vaccine vans that mm-hmm. are being deployed to school sites, which is one of the reasons that we put together a parent non-consent, because there we've seen cases of parents sending their children to schools and the kids come home and they're accidentally vaccinated without parent consent. And it becomes one of the, do it and apologize later scenarios.
And these cases are documented, by the way, not hearsay. They was actually on a news channel.
Correct.
Which should be illegal, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
To vaccinate a kid without parents' consent. But it's funny. They've tried to move the Overton window for years. And I mean, in Oregon, you can get a sex change without your parents' consent at age 13. Right. So they're like, well, why can't you just get a vaccine?
That's coming in California. It's coming in California. There's a bill on the books for this year mm-hmm. that lowers the age of consent to 12.
Right.
So, Parisa, as the resident Democrat here, I want to ask you, unrelated. I want to just applaud both of you, especially you, Parisa, as someone who comes from the left to talk about this. I think it's really interesting. Maybe you can help make sense of this, because I think you are consistent and you're someone that I think needs to be kind of studied in a way. And I mean that because
like a psych experiment.
Well, no, maybe it's really interesting. I grew up with liberals that would be like, don't tell me what to do with my body. I have my own autonomy. Like rights-based liberals. You guys know that California used to have a bunch of people like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the sequoia tree people that used to, you know, chain themselves to sequoia trees and be like, you're not going to.
Right.
They really hated the machine. Yeah. Where are those people?
I don't know. I mean, to me, you know.
I think some of
you
them are coming
about,
over.
I hope so.
I do.
To me, it was never about politics. If we're talking about strictly this issue or really any issue, it was about medical science. Right. And then medical science yields to the law. And then law yields to logic in my mind. So from the beginning, it became clear to me that with this virus being a flu-like virus, you were not going to be, I have a background in science, you were not going to be able to create immunity by virtue of a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, you know, this understanding that it's not going to prevent the spread. So one and done. That's it. That's end of story. As a lawyer, I look at it and say, well, you can't mandate it. And so it didn't matter. It never even occurred to me that I was a Democrat or that I was from the left. It was purely medical science, the law, and logic.
Yes. No, I
don't know what happened to the rest of my party.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just, because this used to be such an interesting issue on the left, which was like anti-pharmaceutical companies, medical autonomy, don't tell me what to do with my body. And there was a huge coalition. And I don't know. Now, all of a sudden, those very same people are the ones that are walking the streets telling people to put masks on outdoors.
I do
believe in mass formation.
I do
psychosis.
Believe in. And
yes.
Well, we try not to call it psychosis because we don't have a clinical definition for what this is. But from Matthias Desmet. And I do believe that that's what happened. And I believe that people are in this hypnotic state right. where they feel that they need to comply.
In addition to that, and I just add to that, look, we're in a time where everything's very myopic. And so what's happening is if you're of that mindset, the left, and you're being funneled information, it probably feels very overwhelming, right? So if you're watching CNN, if you're listening to this, mm-hmm. That's the only information that you're getting. And so you have no way to distill between what's really happening and what you're being fed.
Well, and I think that's the power of what you guys are doing and what Dr. McCullough is doing and Dr. Malone, because they answer every question.
Yes.
Right.
And they back it up, and there's no nonsense or garbage with that. UnityProjectOnline.com. If you're a parent, if you're fighting vaccine mandates, it could be helpful. But I want to thank you, Laura and Parisa, for your courage. Just two moms that are standing up and doing what is right. Every parent out there, you can do this too.
Yes.
It's going to take a little bit of a disagreeable posture. You might be called names, but there are millions of people out there. This is the line. You know, we always talk about growing up. Where's the line of tyranny? No, we're right on the line, and we can't let them win. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. People make a big deal out of New Year's resolutions, but I want you to commit to one right now. Resolve to do something that will help make this country
get its greatness again and get back on track, like supporting causes and companies that share our values. I'm proud to tell you about my friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. I use Patriot Mobile and you should too. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers. So you get the same great nationwide coverage, plus the peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the radical left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and is 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations like Turning Point that are fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veterans. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie right now. Get a free activation with the offer code Charlie. Veterans and first responders save even more, so switch today. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT or call 972-PATRIOT.
This is your brief guest host, Andrew Colvett, filling in just for this last segment. Complicated business, this whole scheduling Charlie Kirk every day. I can promise you it takes an army. So glad to be here with you guys, because I actually was the one that set this up.
You are.
Behind the scenes. Yes. I'm so glad to, and honored, honestly, that you guys could come. What you guys are doing is truly amazing. Honestly, it's an inspiration, as Charlie just said, to millions of moms, parents, normal Americans that are just sick of what's going on in this country and feel like they're helpless. You guys are probably giving a lot of people inspiration and, frankly, tools. And I want to talk about that and get into just a little bit of detail on how to actually fight back. But I do want to clarify the record just here quickly. This OSHA mandate has been struck down by the Supreme Court. Breaking news. Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan dissent from the decision to block the vax or test rule for workplaces of 100 or more employees. On the HHS side, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Barrett dissent from the decision to allow the healthcare vaccine mandate to take effect. That's according to SCOTUS blog. Apparently, the unanimous, and you would probably know more about this, was had to do with this per curiam, where they all sign on to the decision. And like, it's kind of like a coward's way out, apparently.
That's right.
Anyways, but we know that they authored dissents anyways and signed on to those. So that looks to be the dividing line. Kavanaugh was a bit of a question mark. Barrett was a bit of a question mark. Roberts was a bit of a question mark. And so, honestly, I think it's a great day. 6-3. It could have been a lot tighter. It could have been 5-4, certainly.
It should have been unanimous.
It should have been unanimous. I mean, frankly, I don't know what constitution these people are reading.
Right.
And Sotomayor is a total lightweight. Unfortunately, this whole thing has exposed her. Anyways, ladies, we want to talk about how this OSHA mandate does not necessarily clear up the states, and there's going to be a whole PR war that fought on the back end of this. What do you think is going to happen in California?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's important that people realize that even though this is a win on a federal level, in some regard, it is not necessarily a state win. And so we still have to fight. And not to be a negative Nelly, but we still have a huge fight on our hands at the state level across this nation, because the states can still do what they want via their police powers.
I think they're absolutely going to do that, actually, right? Newsom
exactly.
In California
sure.
is going to be like Trump's Supreme Court. We knew we couldn't rely on Trump's Supreme Court
right.
and all this, these fake Supreme Court justices that he got in the big lie, all of this. Probably going to double down and use this as a rallying
sure,
cry.
Absolutely. He's going to dig his heels in, I think.
That's basically if past is prologue, right?
Oh.
Yeah, this is what we know of Newsom.
Right.
This is what we know
well,
of-
and we know that this entire agenda has nothing to do with public health. Again, when you take out the element that it doesn't prevent transmission, it has nothing to do with public health. Mm. And I'm not going to speculate as to what it is. But regardless, if it doesn't have to do with public health, then they are going to continue pushing these mandates with regard to these vaccines. And so, and they can definitely continue to do so despite the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah,
I think
you're right. I think some of the companies are sure. going to virtue signal. They're going to say, oh, well, we take this more seriously than even than the courts. We're going to protect
right.
our employees.
Look at the work that they've been doing to get vaccinations forced on children mm-hmm. without the mandate. They've been, you know, to Priest's point, when we started this has been talk of a mandate. It has not actually been mandated
right.
yet. And if you look at everything that they've done up to this point to get these kids vaccinated, it's shocking.
Our three major school districts, one of which is LAUSD, which is the second largest district in the country, is forcibly requiring the vaccines on these kids prematurely and without authorization. Right. And luckily in San Diego, by virtue of a lawsuit filed there, they were successful in stopping that and establishing that the school district does not have the authority to mandate these vaccines. But to Laura's point, yes, look at how far they're going, that even before there is a California Department of Health mandate, we don't even have a California Department of Health mandate, let alone a legislative mandate for these vaccines. You have school districts that are pushing this. And oh, by the way, it's well documented. These schools are getting hundreds of millions of dollars in vaccine funding for vax vans and pizza for coercion.
Sure. I mean, that's what people don't realize is the amount of money that are being pumped into these school districts to as incentives to vaccinate the kids.
Yes.
Well, you guys are not only inspirations to a lot of people out there that need to get off the sidelines and push back, but you have provided a resource. What's the website again? Charlie kept saying
UnityProjectOnline.com.
UnityProjectOnline.com. Go there, get informed. Yeah. They have some of the most intelligent, wise, courageous advisors, especially in the medical field, Dr. Malone, McCullough, so on and so forth, that are advising a lot of these documents. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.